Hello and welcome to Broad Little Lies with Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. My name is Colleen.
My name is Amanda.
And I'm Shandy.
And welcome, everybody. So back in the early days of the broadcast, aka season one of the broadcast, we actually did a podcast on Big Little Lies season one. And it was all the feedback that we had gotten to it, gotten for it. We compiled it. We had special guest Angela Bloom on it. We had a great discussion. So we thought that if anybody is subscribing to the feed now and wants to hear our thoughts on season one of Big Little Lies, we would share this now so you can go back and listen to it. So without further ado, here we go. Broadcast. Hello and welcome to the broadcast, episode 41.5, our special Big Little Lies feedback episode. I am Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Shandy.
And joining us once again is the lovely
Angela. Woo! That's me. That's my name.
Angela!
Angela in the house. Angela in his house. What Yay! Up? All right. So we are going to be talking about, we got a lot of feedback about Big Little Lies, and in the name of time and exporting and levelating, we decided to make post-production a whole lot easier and your listening experience and release this episode a little bit separately. Also, because we know that not everybody has seen Big Little Lies. So,
also, yeah. For those of you who felt like it was a really long time to wait in between episodes since we took a little spring break, we are making that up for you now.
Woo-hoo!
True. Good
instantaneous
point.
Double episode.
That's what we call a silver lining.
Exactly. That was my nickname in college. So
silver lining.
Silver lining shied. I'm
no way. Really?
For real. Yeah. That's like my outlook on life is like, but...
But
did you consider this?
That's pretty awesome.
This is the cool side.
That's a really great nickname. Cool. I like it.
The world is ending. But
wow. Cool.
Looking on the bright side.
On the bright side. You know, I watched the Ellen with what's her name?
Celeste. Reese Witherspoon?
Nope. Celeste. Nicole Kidman. Giada. Oh my god, it's so funny and awkward.
With Giada,
I
like
can't
De Laurentiis?
Stand Giada. Yeah,
yeah, she's the worst.
Who? She's a chef.
She's like a she's like a Food Network personality.
Oh, okay. But anyway, yeah. Okay. So yeah, let's just jump right into this. I think we had some feedback about it in the Facebook group. Do we want to read that real quick?
We can read that. And while we're looking for that, I just wanted to say also, my husband started this. Yes. He had started it with me, but he watched the first episode and then like didn't watch it forever. And I was like, dude, you have to watch this. Like,
I know.
You're going to love it.
I'm like a pusher. Like I keep forcing my husband to watch it. Like, No, because he hasn't watched it yet.
Well,
he does watch a podcast about 17,000 other shows.
Correct. Yeah.
That's true. He's a little preoccupied.
Well, so my husband finally like watched a couple of episodes and then like halfway through like got really into it and was like, you know, like really excited to watch the end. And he was messaging me after he watched the finale and he was like, oh my God, that was the most feminist thing I've watched in so long. Like that was so good. And he loves Madeline. That's like his favorite character of
That's
the whole
so
series. And the episode where she pukes at the table at that dinner, that's like the funniest thing ever.
That's actually so my amazing. Favorite too.
Really?
That's so amazing.
It's like so absurd.
Yes, but and that's why he loves her, because she's like quirky and just
she's
like,
crazy.
She tries so hard to be so perfect and like she just like it just literally just explodes from her body.
Yeah.
You exhaust yourself trying to be perfect. And that's like the perfect like metaphor of that. Just can't keep up the facade.
Yes.
And
I understand
it's just like perfectly cast too. I feel like they did such an amazing job.
They did a great job. Everybody, I mean, they should all win awards for things. Especially Nicole Kidman, though. She's
and I'm like, if she doesn't get nominated for Emmys and Golden Globes, then there's just like, come on, it's HBO, it's Nicole, like, come on.
And I like, I feel like I'm specifically already married to Adam Scott. Like, I feel like he is my friend. Like, I already feel like they're the same person. So it's like really hard for me to like not already feel like he's in Big Little Lies. So I really relate to his.
Well, except, okay, so the thing with that character is, yes, like we had talked to, Amanda and I had talked about how like we got this really weird vibe from him, the way he was looking at his stepdaughter that one time. And my husband, independently of me, was like, yeah, that was really weird. Like, that felt weird. Yeah. I was like, thank you. Not the only one.
I didn't think this. You did, because I love Adam Scott too much. And
me too.
I just see his character from like, I just see like Parks Ben from Parks and Rec. And I just like, nope, he'll never be creepy. I can't.
I didn't get the creepy. So I saw the creepy factor. I talked about this with Shandy, and then I attribute it to the fact that it was kind of just trying to show that he was sexually frustrated. So I thought that that was a clue that was going all the way.
Doesn't make it better. So you're looking creepily at your stepdaughter.
Well, creepily is
that's exactly.
I think it was supposed to show that he's a man with feelings, but she didn't want it. She didn't want the tea, so he didn't act on it. He didn't act on it.
No, that's his fucking daughter. It doesn't matter if it's his stepdaughter or not.
I never saw any of that, so I didn't get that vibe from him at all. So. All right,
let's get into the Facebook group.
Anyway.
We could debate another fucking hour on this show, because we've done a lot of it so far. So let's just see what the listeners want to debate us on. Lori said, I finished the book. Wow, holy twist at the end. Is the TV show pretty much the same? I'm definitely going to watch it. Wondering if I can finally listen to episode 37 before I watch the show. Does anything else happen that wasn't in the book? Manny says, not anything big, as the twist in the end happens in the show. I enjoyed the book. And then she says, oh, try a husband's secret if you want to read another thing from the author. Angela, have you read the book?
Yeah, so I read the book. And I mean, she's pretty much right. I would say that the main difference is that is in the... that the only thing that's missing from the TV show is that Bonnie is given a backstory where she really isn't given she's given one in the book, where she isn't given one in the TV show. Mm-hmm. You know, and that sort of is like a big deal, because it explains a lot more why she does what she does.
Yeah.
Whereas in the TV show, you're sort of like, wait, why is it Bonnie? You know, like, or, you know, like, you're very caught off guard. But I mean, besides that, it's all very much similar. There's a few nuanced things, but they do a pretty good job of keeping it in line. And I would say I almost prefer the TV show. They bring the characters to life a little bit more.
I think that's what somebody else said in one of the Facebook groups too, actually. They prefer the TV show.
I think, yeah.
Oh, no, actually, emails, wait.
I think, yeah.
I think Joanne says in the email that
she does. Yeah, so that's my personal taste, but yeah, we can read Joanne's email as well. But that's my personal taste. I feel like that they bring the characters a little bit to life just through the acting a little bit more. But that's just how I read it. So I feel like it just depends on how you read the book. But were there any more Facebook comments?
I think that was pretty much it. Everything else has been sent to us as feedback. Which, do you want to do the honors?
Yeah, so To the Broads from Joanne. She says, I just finished reading Big Little Lies, and I will keep this as spoiler-free as possible, which we will most likely not be doing in this in this discussion.
Oh, yeah.
While the book was very good, I prefer the TV series, like we said. There are many differences, including the participants in the big scene and the aftermath. I would say the main extra missing from the TV show, and that was pointed out by a previous listener, is that Bonnie is given a backstory to explain her actions. Although it was not given until the actual incident and was not in depth, beyond that extra book tidbit, there are not nearly as many interpersonal conflicts in the book, which I feel added more substance and more guessing about the ending to the TV version. And to return to the discussion on your last show about the abuse, it was definitely all physical in the book with none of the sexual undertones and overtones of the TV series. I wonder if the different depiction has anything to do with the culture, as the book is set in Australia. It is not that I think abuse is different, just how discussion and depiction might be affected by how the topic is normally viewed in different cultures. Likely no way to know for sure. Yeah, so I mean, I don't think that I necessarily felt as strongly as Joanne did that it was like 100% not sexually overtoned in the book. I did think that there was a little bit of sexual overtone. I think that there was, it was hard to say that there wasn't any at all because their relationship was a little sexually charged. But yeah, they definitely amped that up for the TV show. I mean, they made it mostly sexual.
You got that Skarsgård and that Skarsgård peen, which I think Shandy leaned right, if I remember correctly.
I don't think we ever saw. But yeah. No, and I think it is interesting to think about the differences of culture.
For sure.
And I would say that it's actually maybe not so much a difference in like Australian and American culture per se, so much as it is a difference in TV culture. Like it's HBO. And so we talked about kind of the last time about how things are sexualized and like that's
and visual versus literature.
Well, yeah. Yes, how do you bring something that's, you know, a visual component to just words?
Well, it's very easy to visually show physical abuse. Like it doesn't have to turn sexual, but I think, and that's where I had said in a previous episode that like, for me, that was where I was like a little bit iffy on it. Like I didn't like that the show was sort of making it like a little bit sexy / a little bit abusive and then tipping the scale more and more abusive, because I just felt like when it's not really clear if it's supposed to be sexy or not, I think that for a certain audience, they could confuse the two.
Yeah, I know. And I think Amanda and I had argued at that point that it wasn't that they were trying to make it sexy in our minds. It was they were trying to show how when you're in that situation, sometimes the lines are so blurred that you don't know the difference. And we kind of, the way that Celeste was figuring it out, that more and more that it was not their sex life, so to speak. It was more, you know, abuse that was you know, and it just kind of kept coming. It was clouded for her. Yeah. And that's kind of how I think that's very real life, where it's not a cut and dry thing.
And we were almost seeing it through her lens.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Whereas I think as the show progressed, you know, in the book, when you read the book, you're reading the book from almost a narrative perspective, where you're seeing it mostly from a certain abusive perspective the entire time. Whereas in the TV show, you really are seeing it from the characters' perspectives. Yeah. Whereas it's not that way in the book. You're seeing it from a pretty outward lens the whole time, where, you know, it is a mystery, but you really aren't delving too deep into the fact that, like, Celeste is the one who, like, you think, like, oh, okay, maybe he is an okay person. Maybe he is just, like, that's just how they have sex.
I think that's the psychology of an abuse victim. And even an abuser, it doesn't always start out as straight up being punched because you disagree in a fight. Like, you know, or you didn't do the dishes the right way or whatever it is. Like, sometimes it is something that starts and then it escalates. Like, you know, that's kind of very real life. That's very realistic to me.
And I wasn't 100% sure, because of how they were doing it, that they were going to follow what the book had.
Oh, with the ending, yeah.
Like, from the get-go, because of the way that Celeste and her husband were acting, and how sexualized it was and how, you know, like, the abuse was being portrayed, I wasn't sure that they were following the book, like, word for word.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're just taking this as, like, a guideline and they're creating a whole new story.
Yeah.
And that's a really interesting point, because it's, like, when you're adapting something from a book, and, I mean, I knew nothing about it going into it, but I would imagine, I mean, the book probably had enough of a following that they decided to make a show out of it. that like there is something to be said about how can we make the story exciting and different so that someone who read the book isn't bored.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. How can we tease everybody? So it's like that, that's an interesting point.
And from what my sister,
that the directors and the show creators thought about when they were building the story and they were building the style in which they were going to shoot it.
Yeah. And from what my sisters have said, and they both read the book, is that they were in, I think Mandy said this too, that they were all in suspense while watching that final scene, because even though you know what's going to happen, it's slightly different. It's, you know, just different enough that you don't know for sure what's going to happen.
And I wasn't convinced that it was going to be Bonnie. I up until the final scene, I didn't think it was going to, I wasn't sure it was going to be Bonnie, and I wasn't sure that it was Alexander Skarsgård was going to die. Yeah. Like, I wasn't sure.
And as a storyteller that is adapting someone else's story, that's what you want to do. That like someone who knows what's happening is still like, oh, well, maybe that's not what's going to happen. Like that's crazy. Like hitting the ball out of the park from like a story.
I was like, this is wacky. And like, I was like, maybe Celeste is going to die. I was like, oh crap, this would be crazy if she died. Like, I would be pissed. Like, I was going to be furious. And like, it was crazy. But I mean, overall, I was like on pins and needles the whole time. I was dying. It was probably one of the best things I've seen in a long time. And I think that it had a really, and I think that it had a really solid, whether it be the message that you felt was appropriate, it had a message, which I think isn't always the case. And I think that it said something, you know, whether that was something that you agreed with or not, it definitely had a point of view, which sometimes isn't always the case with these HBO shows. I think you're right, Shandy, when you say like it can be overly sexualized. And I mean, that can be the case with HBO stuff. And I think that they found a way to make it a little bit more of a statement than it could have been.
Oh, right. And I mean, like, I think, like, when I think of HBO, like, I mean, the biggest example that comes to mind is, of course, Game of Thrones, where, like, they really shit. And I love Game of Thrones, but they really shit the bed on a couple of different times with the way that they use rape in that show.
Mm. Unnecessary rape, you know?
As a male's plot point, a lot of times. But that being said,
spectacle rape.
Honestly, one of the reasons why I just don't watch the show. Like, I just can't.
To further the story about some dude, they're gonna rape a woman. But anyway,
hey, Amanda, Colleen.
I mean, that being said, like,
sorry, I just started playing the next phone call by accident.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that, like, I had that one caveat, and I had, like, that's, like, the one thing that's, like, kind of in my mind. But overall, I agree with you, Angela. Like, there's definitely a really strong message, and I think that overall it's a success, and I really, really liked the show. So I'm not, like, you know, super complaining about it. I just think that it's something to consider, and it's something to discuss and be aware of. That's it.
I would agree with you if we didn't see Celeste, the person that was experiencing it, realize that it was not okay. It was not sexy. It was not her sex life.
She almost like looks back on her.
So I think I think
it's almost, for me, it's almost like a more of like a reader response, like, kind of lens that I'm seeing it through, where I'm realizing that so much of the population is so stupid that, like, would they get that?
No, you're right. Sorry. I mean, it's true. I saw a lot of response to it, especially after the airing of the finale, where people were like, I can't believe that, like, he was the one who was, like, doing it. And people still don't realize that, like, he was the one who raped Shailene Woodley's character. Like, it drives me insane that, like, he's the one who is the father of Ziggy. Like,
and that drives me crazy. What? I didn't even know. How could you not know? The acting was so good.
I know.
How's that a thing?
Like, they literally showed us that he was the person. She held a gun to him in her, like,
I know, but like, when Shailene Woodley looks at Nicole Kidman,
that's amazing.
And like, and they have that moment together, those two should get all the awards.
Literally,
I sat there watching it, and I was like, that's why these caliber actors wanted to do this show for that scene.
Yep.
Like, that's like acting, like, look at me go, like, look at,
like, they look at each other and they have like a moment where it just, like, everything becomes clear, and it's just like their entire worlds fall apart. And you're just like, I was just like broken, and I was like, no.
It's like an acting grand slam.
I've watched, I told you, I watched that scene like 15 times in a row. Like, I just, it's so amazing.
So good.
All the feels, all the chills, all the awards.
All the feels.
Yeah, seriously. All right, so we have a voicemail from Desiree, so let's see what Desiree can say that we're going to argue about in a second. Hit us. Bring it.
Hey, Amanda, Colleen, and Shandy. This is Des. I was just calling to talk about Big Little Lies. I went ahead and watched it because, you know, everybody was saying it was really good. It didn't interest me at first because, you know, I'm not really into, like, murder mysteries and things like that. But I thought I'd give it a try because, you know, getting such good reviews from everybody. So I watched it and I really enjoyed it. I could not stop watching each episode I finished. I was like, oh, I just want to watch the next episode. Of course, I didn't have time to do, you know, watch all the episodes in a row, but I would have if I had the time. It was great. First of all, being somebody who has lived most of their adult life below the poverty line, there's no way in hell Jane could afford that little house on a part-time salary as a single mother. I have been a single mother, and I have not been able to afford a house that expensive on a part-time salary. I've always had to work full-time to afford to raise my children on my own. And even then, it was really tight. So that was bullshit. But I was able to forgive it because it's TV. And then going into this show at the beginning, I was like, ah, oh, these are all those mothers that I can't stand in real life. These perfect little well-to-do moms. They're just really annoying. I have nothing in common with them. I don't identify with them at all. I don't like them. I don't get along with them. I don't like being around them. But, you know, you shouldn't, I guess, judge a book by its cover because they are actually much deeper characters than that. And you were able to see that they had problems just like anybody else. In fact, I was able to identify with most of those characters in the end. Just Renata and her being upset about her daughter getting bullied, because there's nothing worse than your child being hurt and not being able to do anything about it. I think any parent can identify with that. And then Madeline and her just getting upset about her children getting older and moving on, and her not, you know, just being that mother. What else was she? And I could definitely identify with that. Once, you know, my children were getting older, I was like, oh my God, my children are leaving me. What else do I have? Nothing. But of course, now I have Astrid, so I can be a mother for another 18 years. So that's nice. But it was really compelling. And at first, I'm going to do a little spoilers here, but at first I didn't know if I liked the fact that Perry was the person who had raped Jane. But then when I thought about it a little bit, yeah, I was like, yeah, I kind of like that, because he was an awful person. And, you know, it was very coincidental, of course, because, you know, of course she happened to move to this place, so where he was there. And it's like, well, how did she not recognize him before that? But she never even met him until that moment, I'm guessing. I don't remember seeing them interact or be around each other before that. So I guess that did work. But yeah, I do kind of like it, because it just showed that, you know, he was just a truly awful person, even though they tried to make him semi-sympathetic a little bit, I think. Yeah, so I kind of like that. And the fact that it was Bonnie that did it, I had no problem with that. I thought that was interesting. It was definitely what you were not expecting. And the fact that these mothers could come together at the end, in spite of their differences and their feelings, because they went through this together and they were, you know, stronger for going through this together, and they were able to bond, was really great. So I really, really enjoyed it. I'm trying to get my husband to watch it. Excuse me. he keeps saying, okay, I'll start it. I don't think he thinks he's going to like it, but I think he's going to love it. So I'll try and get him to watch it. Anyways, just wanted to tell you, thanks for recommending it. And thanks for putting that big spoiler warning when you guys talked about it, because I did think I might want to watch it, and I didn't want to spoil myself if I did, and I'm glad I didn't, because it was well worth not knowing what was happening, and it was nice to be able to go back to the podcast and listen to you guys talk about it after I was done watching it. So anyways, love you guys, bye.
See, I'm the greatest for my spoiler warning, but it's really funny how Shandy, Angela, and I have all been like, and then we tried to get our husbands to watch it after we watched it. So did Desiree.
Well, that's true. And yeah, and Daniel got into it too, just because, like, I started watching it, and then he would sort of be in the room and be like, do you mind if I watch? And be like, okay, that's cool. And then by the end, he's like, do you want to watch Big Little Lies?
Yeah.
Oh, but I have this handful of popcorn that I really
just eat it. Eat the popcorn.
Do it.
Eat the popcorn.
As Amanda says, eat the cake.
Yes. Eat the cake.
And the Fritos.
And the Fritos. Don't leave it on the table.
Thank you for all that, Diz. That was awesome.
Yeah. That was like a super succinct like synopsis of the entire season.
Yeah. And it was kind of funny that she talked about everything that we just talked about, and we hadn't even heard her voicemail first.
Right? Yeah. And I like that she even mentioned the whole thing about Perry and not really knowing that he was going to be the person, and that it was going to be him, and that she wasn't sure, and that she may not have met him before.
She definitely didn't.
Yeah, she definitely didn't. And then I love that she mentions that she definitely couldn't afford that kind of a house, because that is for sure accurate.
And here's the thing. That's also a good point. We haven't really brought that up a ton. So thank you, Desiree, for bringing that up.
It's not, as somebody who lives in Monterey myself, like, I can say that it's not even just affording that house in wherever USA, like affording that house in Monterey. No, no, absolutely not in that neighborhood. Nope. But I mean, just like Des, like, does she go by Des?
Yeah, she goes by Des.
Okay.
Well, you know, she's Des to you now. Kind of like how I jokingly called Angela Angie a whole bunch of times this weekend. But to be fair, that's because when I talk to Mike, he refers to you as Angie sometimes.
But here's the thing, like, I don't let people call me that. And, like, for some reason, Mike called me Angie, like, a few times. And now it's, like, a thing, apparently.
Well, I'm sorry. Once I was sober, though, by the second night, I think Jay was like, I don't think she likes that. And I was like,
I don't care, actually. It's fine. You can call me that. It's like my parents call me it sometimes. So cool.
Like, I prefer Angela.
Angela. I do too. You know, it's just like not like my nickname. So like if people call me and I may just not respond. So
yeah.
Like,
but not out of rudeness. It's just because that's not normally what you're used to calling.
Call me that. So it just might not know you're calling me.
Right.
But
Amanda. Hi, Amanda. Hi, Angela.
Hi, Angela. Hi, Shandy. I think the last part's my favorite. Hi, Shandy. Whatever, Shandy.
I mean, he didn't meet me, so it's fair. Hi, Angela.
But I also wonder, like, if you did it in any order, if the third one was always going to be like, hey,
Mom,
I'm done. Yeah. Anyone else you need me to say hello to?
I have been stalking you, Shandy, since you've been training for the marathon. And, like, I did wonder if Monterey was the Monterey of Big Little Lies, but I didn't want to ask in case it wasn't.
It is. It 100% is.
Like,
but
Monterey, Indiana.
So, like, I knew it was in California. I just didn't know Monterey was like a real place.
So, okay, where they're driving all the time?
That's where you ran.
That's where I ran the marathon. Not Monterey. That's Big Sur. Yeah. So they don't actually live, because if they lived there, their kids would not go to school in Monterey, which apparently, according to the show, has these amazing public schools. Which whatever.
Is, can't be true.
I think they're fine, but it's
normal.
Yeah, I think they're just normal, but I don't actually know because I don't work in.
Also, the soundtrack when they're driving Oh God, the so soundtrack good. Of everything. Yeah. That show is the they best a soundtrack.
You actually, you can like, I don't know through Spotify or whatever, but they did a show soundtrack.
Yeah. So it's guys, it's somebody put show. Together a soundtrack playlist on Spotify.
Ah, that's what it
guys,
is.
Yeah. I'm really emotional about this show right now.
Oh my God! All right, let's hear what Maggie has to say.
Hey, Amanda, Shandy, and Colleen. This is Maggie calling in. I literally just closed the book of Big Little Lies. I just finished the book. It was good. I really liked it. It has some differences from the show. I think I like the show better, which is weird, but a little weird, I guess, because usually the book is better. So, yeah, I think I like the show a little bit better, but it was still a really good book. And so just wondering if you guys have gotten farther with the book. And I don't know, I missed you guys last week. Don't take a week off. No, I understand that you needed to. And I was very sad not to be in Raleigh, but I will be there next year. Come hell or high water, I will be there because I've missed 2 years in a row and it sucks. So, and I'm sad because, but yeah, so I can't wait to hear some more about it and can't wait to listen to the show. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Next year.
Next year, everybody.
And Shandy will be there too.
I think next year we want to kind of time it with Westworld. So hopefully.
Oh, right.
Yeah, hopefully.
If Westworld like, has a normal shooting schedule and like produces something content wise.
Yeah, my guess, and this is just, you know, Jay and I were talking about this. Our guess is that they will probably take over because Leftovers took over Game of Thrones' normal spot. So we think that they'll take over that same time slot. That
like if they
production-wise can get back on track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, I don't know. You guys might, even if you were afraid of all of us this time, you might have to come down next year.
We were not.
Cool.
I was not.
I know.
I was sort of a zombie for the first day and a half. But then I got better.
Cool. It happened.
And then I got better.
Actually,
and, once I had my belongings with me again.
Once I had clothing.
Actually, and we have
suitcases will do to your morale.
It's so true.
We missed this on the last episode that we did. For Joanne, just a follow-up with her email, she said she had a great time at the annual get-together in Raleigh. I want to give a shout-out to Amanda for winning Cards Against Humanity and note that she won by playing the card Strong Female Characters. And because I picked that card without knowing it was hers, because obviously the broadcast tie-in, as the winner of that hand. Woo! Woo-hoo! But
it's all because
Joanne did me a solid.
You actually did. You had like a lot of really like awesome luck with that. The Miley Cyrus card, which... like just so perfect. Then you had the strong female characters.
So to be fair, the card down was like Hannah Montana's new movie.
Something like
she's
that.
She's worried about what?
Yeah.
Yes.
So you just it tied in so perfectly. And then you had the strong female characters that Joanne happened to pick. And then the very last one was the one that I did, right? And
no,
it was
you
like,
did the my first win was yours, the patriarchy one.
No. The one that we finished on me. And it was Who's My Worst Enemy, right?
Maybe.
Something like that. And you picked
me. Because I know my
me.
First one, the first one I won was yours.
Oh, I got you for two.
Yeah.
So and I did, you picked two. Daniel or Daniel picked you or something? Wasn't there like some collusion going on
and
there?
And she picked one of mine.
I picked his.
Okay.
Because I don't know. I just did.
Man, it did really well.
Like super well.
I really like, it's always one of those games where like, I always feel like I'm really clever and I'm really funny and I put down ones and I'm like, I'm going to win. And I never win. So I'm like, I just needed to find my audience and I found my audience. You guys get me. You get my humor. You get my wit. And I loved it.
Sad dragon.
Sad dragon with no friends.
With no friends.
What I felt like. I always felt like the sad, fat dragon with no friends.
Now you've got all your friends.
And now I have friends
now you're
who think I'm
skinny,
funny.
Skinny, happy dragon with a lot of friends.
So now the dragon's on the treadmill, getting in shape.
And he has a lot of friends. And he's really happy.
There may be some like Rocky music playing in the background. Like chugging like raw eggs.
Oh my God. All right. On that note,
Anybody else have anything to say for the Big Little Lies topic? Otherwise, we're going to call it a night, call it a day, a night, or whatever you're listening to this for this portion of the discussion. And we can always pick it back up whenever somebody gives more feedback.
It's a great show. You should watch it if you haven't. And it's a great book. You should read it if you haven't.
Okay, good, because it seems like we've had a couple of people who've said that they preferred this show, and I finally got the book from the library. I was I was on the waiting list. I got the large print was the one that became available first, so I have the book for
Isn't that what Maggie told you to do?
Someone suggested.
I think that was Maggie's suggestion.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm all about the large print. It helps your eyes. yeah, there's that too. okay, so I was like, I got the book, and then we had all this feedback about how the show was better, and I was like, I have a stack of books to read. Like, do I want to dedicate time to it if everyone's saying that?
No, the show is just different. It's just more like enriching character-wise, but the book is still a really good mystery, a really good and like fun story to read.
Cool.
You'll just get a lot more like character.
Yeah.
Like development with a TV show, but that's more on the actor's part. That's not.
It's usually the opposite. That's so interesting. Yeah.
So it's still a really good book, though. And I read the book when I found out about the show, so it wasn't like that. I like read the book like a long time ago. Like I heard the show was coming out, and I was like, "Oh, it looks like an interesting show." But before the show came out, I picked up the book and like read it. So
cool. I think the next thing that we're going to probably all collectively check out is The Handmaiden's Tale.
My cousin just sent that to me.
It's supposed to be spectacular.
I read the book twice in college. I loved it so much.
Really? Yeah, we had to read it in high school.
Yeah, it was like my freshman year English class at Marist.
I loved it so much I kept it and read it again.
You didn't know there was a book?
No, not until Amanda said it.
Oh my God. Wait, are you kidding?
Yeah, I had no idea.
We had to read it in ninth grade English class. It was like a major project.
It was never assigned to me and I've never read it.
Actually, I take it back. I read it sophomore year because I took a dual English history class where we read all literature that was based on history and time travel, and we would talk about it, like what the historical context of why that person envisioned the future they did.
Cool. It was part of the 1984 Yeah, so we read The Handmaid's Tale. We read 1984. It was part of ninth grade English, in high school.
Yeah. Time Machine, Brave New World, that whole envisioning the future. But what about your?
It was probably a little too much for me to be reading in high school. But
yeah, that's a little intense.
Yeah,
because you figure when you're a freshman, you're 14, 15.
Yeah,
that's a little heavy.
It was heavy, but. Yeah, which is why I have yet to watch the Hulu show. I think I need to just buckle down and whip it out in one day because it's going to be a lot for me.
Will you whip it out to the right or the left?
Probably to the left. Okay. We'll see.
I hear that's what everybody else does.
That's what I hear too.
It's not whipped out.
Yes, we know. We know. We're just kidding.
I'll just pick out some basketball shorts so we can hang free.
Oh my God.
That's what the cool cats are doing.
Yes. Oh, Shani, I meant to ask you on the last episode that we did, 41.0, if you also, because we were talking about underwear, if you also run commando like Mike, but.
Okay. Actually, interesting. No.
Okay, there we go.
Answer question.
But
not that interesting.
Do you guys remember when I was talking about giving myself an almost UTI when I did my 20-mile run?
Oh, yes. Boy. Yeah.
And I was talking to my friend about that, and she's like, are you sure it's because you were dehydrated? Because she's like, I don't think that's what it was. I was like, well, I went to the doctor for that once, and I was really thirsty. I don't know. That's kind of what they said. And she was like, okay, what underwear were you wearing? It was more having to do with
ventilation.
Yeah. And I was like, shit, what underwear was I wearing? I was wearing cotton underwear. There you go. Screw the cotton underwear. Sorry, but that does not, whisk away moisture. And so anyway, she's like, no, you should run. You know how they have running shorts have a built-in thing. And I was like, yeah, even when I never wear shorts really, but even when I did, I would still wear underwear because it just feels weird to just have that weird thing, but I'm going to try. So cool. We'll see.
All right. So on that note, if anybody has any, if you guys have anything else to contribute to our Big Little Lies discussion, please give us a call at 331-276-2373, or you can email us, thebroadcasters3@gmail.com. You can also join the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/JaneJackGroup, and comment on the episode thread there. Special thanks to the patrons. Again, before I do anything else, let me thank Molly the Millennial, Tack from Tokyo, and Eckhart Rinkner. Thank you guys so much. If you'd like to become a patron, you can do so by going to patreon.com/JayandJack, or because we understand that not everybody can do that, but everybody shops on Amazon at some point. So if you want to, I think, if you would like to support us that way, you can go to jayandjack.com/Amazon, and that helps us out as well. All right. On that note, guys, thanks for listening. I'm Colleen.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Shandy.
I'm Angela.
Good night. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. See you next time.
Yeah.